Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. I thank God I have never been sorry. Amen. There's not always been easy times. And it's not easy serving the Lord, standing for the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord never promised us it would be easy. Promised us hardships, troubles, taking up a cross. Even in the hardest time, in the darkest hours, He's always been exactly what He promised He'd be. And I look back and maybe hadn't always been able to say it in the midst of it all. It's been difficult, but buddy, we can always look back and say, really, we have no sad stories to tell. Amen. Not serving the Lord. And so, boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Good to be saved in these last days. Brother Ernest says it a lot in Sunday school. These are the greatest days ever in the history of man, ever in the history of the world, the days you are living in today. These are the greatest, most blessed spiritually, most exciting days man has ever seen. Amen. And because Jesus could come back any second. And the Word of God's being fulfilled right before our eyes, even further confirming that it is true. Amen. I say praise God for it. Amen. These are exciting days. Y'all ought to put a smile on your face. Act like you enjoy it more than you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying my Christian life and enjoying being saved. Praise God. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 20. I'll ask you to stand one last time in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Those are the, what's that? Revelation 20, yeah. Did I say Genesis? I did, really? Oh, well, Revelation 20 then. Did I really say Genesis? Okay. Hopefully I won't mess up that bad the rest of the time. Good night. From the first to the last to the first. I mean, good grief. All right, Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. And as I was saying, before I was interrupted, we're going to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Before I was interrupted by my deacon, of all people. So, y'all know how deacons are. All right. Praise the Lord. I just take over everything. All right. Revelation chapter 20, look in verse number 11. Probably, I know it's good to have a good time in church. We enjoy that. But the verses we're about to read are some of the most serious and sobering verses in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, John, the Revelator, under the inspiration of God, writes, "I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And verse 15 will be my text verse this morning. I'll draw most of our thoughts out of this verse. He said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And of course, this is, as I guess every message we preach here, this is a doctrinal message dealing with the doctrine of the great white throne judgment, which I've preached on before, preached several times. But I want to kind of, I guess, draw out of this one verse and give maybe some different thoughts out of this particular verse. And, boy, I thank God for doctrine and the doctrines of the Word of God. And I thank God that we major on the Word of God. It is our foundation, and it is our strong foundation. And you know, it's what's going to last. It's what's going to last in this world. Amen. And so you can be assured that as everything else that has come to pass in the Word of God so far, you can be assured that this great white throne judgment will come to pass just as God said it would and just as He revealed it to John in Revelation chapter 20. But in verse 15, I want to draw some thoughts this morning that the Lord's put on my heart out of this one verse. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the end. The end. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning. I thank You for this day, and I thank You for letting us be in Your house this morning. Lord, I thank You that, Lord, You've allowed us to assemble together one more time on the first day of the week. We might celebrate the resurrection just as Your people have done all the way back to the book of Acts. And Lord, I thank You that You've allowed us to be here. Thank You for the freedom to come. Lord, I thank You for the sweet spirit of fellowship and unity this morning. And Lord, been kind of a lighthearted spirit in the service this morning. Lord, I know that's okay. Lord, I know we can come and enjoy You and enjoy one another and laugh and enjoy each other. But Lord, we've come down to a very serious time, the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, nothing else in life right now is more important than the preaching of the Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us to take it very seriously. I pray that You would help us to lay aside, Lord, any distraction. I pray that You would move in the midst of our service, Lord, that there would not be anything that would hinder the working of Your Spirit this morning. Father, I pray that You would, Lord, bind the devil. I pray that You break down every stronghold in the hearts of man this morning, sort out any misunderstanding or confusion among us. And I pray that You'd help me this morning as I try to preach Your Word, that You would give us that special touch that it takes to preach the Word of God with power. May it go forth not in the wisdom of the words of man, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that it would find lodging in the hearts of Your people this morning. I pray for that lost soul that is here, that, Lord, You would show them their lost condition. Lord, show them the hell they're going to, the judgment they're under, the condemnation they're under. They might be saved. Lord, if there might be here one this morning that's lost, Lord, I pray for every saved person here that You would draw us near to Thee. I pray that You would give us a renewed fervency for You. I pray that You would help us, Lord, to return to our first love. I pray that You would do a work in our heart this morning. We'll thank You and praise You for it. For it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thinking about this verse, verse 15 is the last verse of chapter 20 in the last book of the Bible. After chapter 20, after verse number 15, you do not see, read where the ungodly really are mentioned ever again. This is the last mention, best I can tell, of unbelievers and ungodly in the Bible. In other words, for those that are not saved, anyone that has died lost without God or stood before Him at this great white throne judgment, this is, for that crowd, the end. This is it. From this point on, chapter 21, we see the new heaven and the new earth coming. We see the new city of Jerusalem mentioned. We see the new heaven in chapter 22. We see all those things mentioned that are promised to God's people. But we do not see any mention of the lost, of the ungodly, and the unbeliever after this point in the Bible. For those that are lost, this is the end. And I want to preach on that thought. I was thinking about, you know, the last chapter, the closing chapter of any book that you read. Normally, you turn the page. There's a period at the end of the last chapter. You turn the page, and usually on the back side of that page or the next page, there's nothing but a blank page that with two words on it that simply says, the end. Just about every night, I read at least one or two books with my boys. They love to have books read to them at night. And so we'll read books before they go to bed every night. And at the end of almost all of those books is just what I mentioned. There's a period, you turn the page, and there's a blank page with two words, the end. It is the closing chapter, the closing of the book. And what we find in the Word of God is that every human being, every individual that's ever lived on the earth is going to have that closing chapter. There will come the period at the end of your life, the end of it all, where it's all closed and it's all sealed. And you'll find that the closing chapter is two words, the end. Amen? That is the end. I know everybody's scared to death today about dying of coronavirus. Well, I want you to know something. If coronavirus doesn't kill you, something else is going to. It might be a car wreck on the way home this morning. Amen. It might be some violent crime as we've seen in our city here recently. It might be cancer. It might be anything. As people are so scared of dying with coronavirus, but something's going to kill all of us if the Lord doesn't take us home one of these days. Amen. And I tell you, the most important thing anyone could ever consider in life is being ready for the end. Be ready. And that end, some stories are longer than others. Ain't that right? Some books are longer than others. And I don't know how long your book is, the book of your life. I don't know how many chapters it has in it, and you don't either. Only God knows. And the best you can do is make sure today that you are ready for the end. Because that is all that matters in this life. There's not a person in hell this morning that cares how much money they made, how many friends they had, how many followers they had on Facebook, how many followers they had on Instagram, how popular they were, how high up the corporate ladder they climbed, how many cars they had, or how big their house was. There's not one person in hell that cares anything about all that. The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man died and went to hell. He didn't care one thing about all the riches he had. Instead, he cared about his brethren. He cared about those that were back here. And he believed more than what most Baptist preachers believe today. He asked God that he'd send a man to preach to his brothers that they might repent. Amen. And most Baptist preachers don't even believe that. But let me tell you something. The rich man in hell believes it this morning. He knows it takes repentance. Turn it from your sins. Turn it unto Christ to be saved from the wrath to come. Amen. And that's the most important thing that anyone could ever consider in life, is being ready for the end, because whether we like it or not, the end is certainly to come. Amen. It's going to come. Like it or lump it, it will come. And so we see here the end for the ungodly. And the end of the ungodly we find in the Bible really is not a pretty picture. And I say that really with a burden. Anytime I preach on topics like this, it gives me such a burden in my heart. Because I tell you why, I think about all my friends that are lost. I think about all the that I know that are lost. I think about my family that is lost. I think about those that are around me all the time that are lost, knowing that if they die the way they are, they will stand right here at this great white throne judgment. And they will give an account with all the rest of the dead. And it will be the same outcome that we just read in verse number 15 of Revelation 20. It's not a very pretty picture at all. Now, it ought to make everyone that would hear preaching regarding the end, regarding the great white throne, it ought to make us all sit up and take notice. Amen? These are very sobering verses. It's dealing with the eternal destiny of the ungodly. Nothing is so important in life as our eternal destiny. Amen? Destiny, the destiny of the ungodly we find here is judgment. The eternal destiny of every ungodly person and every unbeliever is judgment, is what the Bible says. The greatest tragedy that has ever been known is a person that would prepare for everything in life, prepare for every trouble, prepare for every hardship, lay up money and lay up in store to be prepared. And by the way, I think you ought to be prepared if you can be. I think we ought to be prepared for everything that would come. Listen, matter of fact, even Jesus talked about that. He said if you knew what hour the thief came, you'd be ready, you'd be watching. And so we ought to be prepared. We ought to use wisdom to prepare for the trials of life and the storms of life. We ought to have a rainy day fund. fund. Amen. That's just wisdom that tells us that. Amen. We ought to try to prepare to take care of our families for hard times and terrible things and tragedies and circumstances and accidents that would happen, because they do happen. Man that is born of woman is a few day and full of trouble. And we ought to prepare for the trouble. Let me tell you, the greatest tragedy that could ever be told is a man or a woman that would spend his life or her life for every tragedy and every trial of life, preparing for everything in life and yet not preparing for eternity. Because whether we like it or not, the fact is that the end is going to come to every one of our lives. Saved and lost, the end will come. I want to give you three simple thoughts out of this verse, this one verse, verse number 15. I'm not preaching on the whole great white throne judgment this morning. I'm just giving you some simple thoughts out of this one verse regarding the end and regarding preparing for the judgment. First of all, in this verse, we see a guide for judgment. He said in the verse, look in verse 15, he said, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life." It's just a blank statement. Not a blank statement, but it's just a straightforward statement. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. In other words, there is no exception here. You and me, no one that would die lost without God. None of us would ever be the exception. Amen. I'm thankful I'm saved this morning, so I don't have to stand at this great white throne. But if you were to die lost without God, you would not be the exception. There's so much good old boy religion down here in the South, where folks think, you know, their good will outweigh their bad, and if they help enough stray dogs and they help enough little old ladies across the street and they do enough good for enough good enough people and change enough flat tires and give enough hobos a ride, and they do enough good things and be a good enough person, that they'll stand before God and somehow God will see that their good outweighs their bad and somehow He'll let them in. You know what they think? They think they're going to be the exception, because that is not Bible. And I believe in their heart most people really know that. I believe most people really realize that. I believe the Spirit of God would tell somebody that you could never be good enough to be saved. Amen? And so none of us will be the exception. No lost person would ever be the exception. If a man is not found written in the book of life, the Bible says. If he's not found written in the book of life, if your name is not in the book of life, you will be cast into hellfire. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are, your name must be found in the book of life. Now, your name may be in many books of great importance in this world, may be written in many books of great importance, may be recorded in books of great importance in this life. You may be part of the who's who of this community or of this world or the place you work or the school you went to or whatever else. You may have your name on some church membership book. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, if it's not in God's book, it's not going to matter. Amen? See, the guide for judgment, the guide for judgment is not having a name written in a church roll, and it's not having a name written with many accolades. The guide for judgment is whether or not your name is found written in the book of life in heaven. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Listen to verse number 20. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." He said, this isn't anything to be happy about. This isn't anything to rejoice over. You can tread on serpents. You'll have power over scorpions. You have power over all the enemy. He said, but that's really not anything to be happy about. He said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." He said that in spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Listen, there's not a person here with the ability to tread on a serpent like the apostles have. And there's not a person here this morning that's got the ability to tread on scorpions like what the apostles had. Those were apostolic gifts, amen? And those gifts have
ceased according to 1 Corinthians 13. Praise God. Amen. So we couldn't take up serpents, and that's why we're not handling them this morning. Amen. If you want to handle some serpents and show your faith, hey, listen, help yourself, buddy. They still do it up in Eastern Kentucky. Go right ahead. But you're going by yourself. I'm staying here. Praise God. Listen, those were apostolic gifts, and none of us can do those things. Listen, all the things that God, those powers and those abilities, a lot of them to heal the sick and all that stuff, He gave those to those disciples and those apostles. Amen. And none of us can do that stuff now. Listen, God's the great physician, and we pray for the sick, and we know that any healing comes from God. I understand that. But as far as laying hands on people and miraculously healing them, all those gifts died with the apostles. Amen. But I tell you this, one thing that they have that we have too, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And so you're right up there with John if your name's written there. You're right up there with Paul and Peter. Hey, you're right up there with James if your name is written there. And that is something to rejoice about. Jesus said, don't rejoice about all those gifts and those powers, because those things will come and those things will go. But for as eternity rolls on, your name will be forever written in the Book of Life in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's something to rejoice about, because that, friend, is the guide to judgment this morning. God has a guide. Got something He's going to go by. And He's going to go by what is in that book. Amen. God has made a way for you to have your name written in heaven's Book of Life this morning. And that's something to rejoice about. Amen. You say, well, what's the way? The way is to come to Jesus and be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is athirst, let him come. Amen. And drink of the water of life freely. That's what Jesus said. Amen. He has made a way in His mercy and in His grace towards us. He has made a way for us now. But let me tell you, the guide at the judgment, if it's not found there, if you don't go the right way now, and that name's not going to be found there, it's not going to matter. Not going to be any exceptions there. See, without Christ, you can't get in the Book of Life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's no other way in. There's no other avenue. Oprah can believe that all she wants to. She can believe and preach all these different avenues and all these roads lead to God, and folks can believe that all they want to. But I'm here to tell you, there is one road, and there is one name, and there is one way of salvation. There is one door, amen, and that it's a man named Jesus, hallelujah, and in His grace and in His mercy, you can come to Him and be saved and have your name in the Book of Life. Amen. I say, what a Savior. So we see the guide for judgment. Then we see grace in judgment. He said, whosoever was not found. Whosoever was not found. I know these are just simple thoughts this morning. But He said, whosoever was not found. You know that word found? That suggests that there was a search made. That suggests that God was looking. That suggests that as He sat on that throne and as that lost one, and if you're here this morning, you stand before Him at this judgment. As you somehow stand before God, it suggests that He searched for your name. You say, well, God already knows. Well, I know He knows. He's God. But He still searched. Amen. It said the name was not found. He was looking. That is, God will look in the book to see if your name is there. You know what that search is? That search is grace. That search is God's grace. And I'll tell you something else that it reminds us of. It reminds us that divine judgment will be fair. Divine judgment is going to be fair. Divine judgment, the great white throne, when the lost and the unbelievers stand before God to give their account, to be judged of their works, is what He said in the same chapter. It's going to be perfectly fair. God's going to treat everyone fairly. He's going to treat everyone right. He's going to reward them with what they have coming to them. They're going to get what they deserve. That's what's going to happen in the divine judgment. Matter of fact, look back in verse number 12. He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books, that is, multiple books. More than one book. Well, what, Brother Jacob, what books are going to be there? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly. It doesn't tell us directly what books are going to be there. But I can think of one that I believe will be there. I believe it's going to be that Bible you're holding. Amen? I believe it's going to be a Bible. I believe it's going to be the Word of God, because this is God's law. This is what He has given. And I believe man will be judged according to this book. Amen? This is God's Word to man. Jesus was the living Word. This is the written Word. Amen. This is the closest thing we have to Jesus Christ in the flesh walking among us, is that book you are holding this morning. That Bible. Amen. I believe that's at least one book that'll be there. I believe there'll probably be some type of book of works, some type of log of our life will probably be there. But I don't know that for sure. One thing I do know is that God has got everything recorded. He's got all the good. He's got all the bad. He's got it all recorded. And whenever man stands before Him, whenever all the law stand before Him, at the end, at the divine judgment, at the great white throne, those books are going to be opened. Now, I said that to say this. It's all according to fact. It's not going to be someone's made-up opinion. It's not going to be popular opinion that's going to judge the lost. It's not going to be what everybody thinks. Because here's the thing, man. A lot of people live wicked lives and die lost without God, but then some wolf in sheep's clothing will get up at their funeral and preach them right on into heaven and sway popular opinion. They were a drunk and a womanizer and a dope head all their life. And they robbed and raped and pillaged and they were a nuisance to society and lived wicked all their life. But as soon as they die, they'll wheel them down to the front of a church and some wolf in sheep's clothing will deceive everybody sitting there and talk about how they were saved and how they're in Jesus and now they've got their wings now and how they're looking down on all of us and all that weird hocus pocus, you know. Don't find any of it in the Bible. And you know what that does? That sways popular opinion. Isn't that right? Get everybody deceived there into believing. Point out all the, you know, all these this stuff in our life, maybe some of the good that they did, and get everybody remembering and thinking, yeah, you know, he really was a good person. He really was. I mean, he ripped me off that time, but he really was a good person. And he broke into my house that time and stole all my wife's jewelry so he could buy more dope, but, you know, go pawn it and buy more dope. But, yeah, he, you know, just like that person, he really was. He was a good person. See, that's popular opinion there. Let me just tell you, popular opinion, it comes and it goes. Hey, listen, this world will hate you today and they'll love you tomorrow. Amen? Amen. That's what a lot of young preachers have to realize, have to learn. Hey, a lot of young men, they get saved and God calls them to preach and they think that the ministry comes down to a flashy suit and their picture on a flyer, amen, and being popular and preaching meetings and all those things and everybody knowing who they are and preaching their name. Listen, popularity comes and popularity goes. But one thing that's going to stand when the stars are falling to the earth and the moon is dripping blood is going to be that book you are holding. He said it is forever. Ever settled in heaven. Amen? And that's what we're going to be judged by. Not popular opinion. Not what everybody thinks about you. Not what the community thinks about you. Listen, not what the angels think about you or the crowd there gathered around the throne thinks about you. It's going to be this book and it's going to be the recorded works. It's going to be fair. It's not going to be what anybody thinks. It's going to be exactly what it is. Romans chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth." Truth. He said, we're sure of that. And you need to be sure of that this morning. Amen. It's going to be according to truth. See, we're living in a day of such deception that you really can be whoever you want to be. Oh, yeah. Our society is so heavy on the internet and social media and all that stuff that people can be whoever they want to be on the internet.
And by the way, always remember that too. Always remember that, about what you see of people on the internet and what you see of people. Hey, listen, just realize they're allowing you to see what they want you to see. All the pictures are doctored. All the pictures are filtered. Amen. Listen, people can be with, but listen, it don't matter what society thinks about you. It doesn't matter what the internet thinks about you. I tell you what God knows. He knows the truth. He knows what goes on in dark corners of the night. He knows what goes on when nobody else is around. He knows what goes through your mind. Not just the thoughts you have, but the thoughts you harbor. He knows that too. He knows every idle word. Matter of fact, he said we're going to give an account for all of them. Every idle word. Isn't it amazing that people think, according to the Bible, God's going to hold us accountable for every idle word that we ever spoke. He's not going to lose one of them. But they don't think he's big enough and strong enough to preserve every word in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? He's gonna judge us for every idle word, but oh, he can't keep the Bible preserved into this generation, like the psalmist said. You know, he's not big enough, strong enough for that. But he's gonna judge us by every idle word. Simply saying that God knows everything about us, and we're gonna be judged according to the truth of it. And when the lost stand before God, the great right throne, that's what they'll be judged by. They'll be judged by what's in those books. That is the truth. Amen. See, the judgment's going to be fair. God's not been fair with us so far. You realize that? God's not a fair God. He's not giving you what's fair. If you got what was fair, you'd be in hell this morning. He has dealt with us on the basis of His grace. He's dealt with us on the basis of His mercy. He's not been fair with us yet. Amen. He has come to us, come to where we are, and reached out to us. Now, I know He judged His Son in our place, and so He fairly dealt with Him in our place so that if we receive Him, as long as we're in Christ, the justice of God is satisfied. I understand all that, but listen, buddy, you and I ought to be in hell this morning with our back broke. We ought to be in the charred walls of the damned this morning. It's His mercy and His grace that has dealt with us. I thank God He's not been a fair God with me. Amen. I'm here to tell you, one of these days of the judgment, He's going to be fair. He's going to give everybody, what every lost person, every unbeliever at the great white throne, He'll give them exactly what is fair, exactly what is recorded. It will come to them. He will be fair at the judgment. So we see grace in the judgment. Then last of all, we see greatness of judgment. The greatness of judgment. He said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that phrase, cast into the lake of fire, that says to us and reveals to us that judgment is great for those that are not in the book of life. It speaks of greatness in two ways. First of all, it speaks of the greatness of our sin. It speaks of the greatness of our sin. See, if the judgment is so great, if the way God deals with sinners and unbelievers so greatly and so seriously, it shows us how great our sin is. If judgment is so great, how great must be our sin? I'll tell you something else that shows the greatness of sin is the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, he said, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There's two things that reveal the seriousness of our sin. That's the cross and that's the judgment. Amen. That's why this whole thing of supposedly getting saved and then continuing on in sin, that don't hold water, not with God. Sin is the whole problem that man has anyways. Sin is what salvation deals with. Salvation is not a heaven and hell matter. It's a sin matter. Amen?
Heaven is a byproduct of salvation, and hell is a byproduct of sin. You don't get saved to go to heaven. You don't get saved to miss hell. That's part of it, I understand. And that can move somebody, and somebody can... I mean, that's what people came to Jesus asking about. That's what that one we talked about in Sunday school this morning. That lawyer came, how must I inherit eternal life? But, you know, you'll find most of the time in the Bible that whenever one's come to Jesus wanting to know about inheriting eternal life, very few of them people got saved. They're looking for something that they can inherit. They were saying, what's in it for me? How can I inherit eternal life? I don't want to do anything for you, Lord, but what can I do to inherit eternal life? It's all about me. Rich young ruler, he came to Jesus seeking eternal life. That lawyer we talked about this morning, he came seeking eternal life. And Jesus asked him the question, well, what's the book say? I mean, that's what I've gotten to asking people whenever they ask me. Well, what do you think about drinking? Well, what's the book say? What's the Bible say? I mean, you know, they always want. They're looking for somebody to justify their wicked habits. That's what it is. They're hoping that I'll tell them, well, you know, Jesus drank wine and you know, and all this stuff. And just disregard all that Proverbs says and disregard all the rest of everything that the Bible says and disregard the history and the truth and all that regarding it all. But you know, they're wanting somebody to justify their sin and what they want to do, you know. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what I say or my opinion of what it is. It matters what this book says. And that's what Jesus asked that lawyer. He said, how can I inherit eternal life? Well, what does the book say? He went and quoted that verse, you know, love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul. Love thy neighbors as thyself and all that, you know. Jesus said, well, as thou said. You answered right. But what's the next verse say? The next verse say, he willing to justify himself. That's the very next verse. It was all about what's in it for me. Let me see if I can manipulate Jesus enough to let me into heaven and inherit eternal life without really having to do anything. So he, willing to justify himself, said, and who is my neighbor? That's when Jesus gave the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. And as a Jew, well, that was repulsive to him. He don't want to love any Samaritan, but Jesus said, that's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. I'm simply saying that. Like, listen, it is a sad day in America whenever the church started making salvation and the gospel all about heaven and all about hell. Amen? Listen, I know those are realities, and I know those that can move people to want to be saved. And want to just, listen, if that's the only reason somebody would, if that's the only thing that somebody wants is to get heaven and miss hell, they'll never get it, man. The Bible doesn't say regarding Jesus that he shall save his people from hell. No, it said he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. A man has got to get to the place where he's ready to deal with his sin, where he views himself wicked in the eyes of God. He sees himself the way God sees him. He takes side with God against himself and embraces his need for a Savior because of his sin. Amen. Amen. Because judgment and the cross both, they show us the severity and the seriousness of our sin. The greatness of our sin. God did all that He did to His Son on that cross to satisfy Himself in the place for your sin. For your sin. That's what it's all about. That's man's problem is sin. Man's problem isn't that he's missing heaven and going to hell. That's part of his problem. That's a result of his problem. Man's problem is sin. So it speaks of the greatness of our sin. Last of all, it speaks of the greatness of suffering. That lake of fire speaks of the worst suffering possible. The human mind cannot even fathom existence in a lake of fire. We can't wrap our minds around that. I mean, if you in this body, this physical body, this corruptible body, If you were to be cast physically into a lake of fire, you would die within seconds and the pain would be over. But you know, those that will be cast into this lake of fire, they will have a glorified body. They will have an eternal body. Us going to heaven, we're not the only ones getting eternal bodies. Those in hell have got them too. And they're not going to die within seconds and the suffering being over. And your mind cannot imagine that. Your finite mind cannot understand that. But I tell you this, it speaks of the greatness of the suffering. The suffering is indescribable. But this is the end for the ungodly. According to the Bible, this is the end. This is the end for all that die without being born again. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, praise the Lord, you've been saved. You've got something to rejoice about, that your name's written in glory. But I want to remind you that this is the end for everyone you know, everyone you're kin to, everyone you're friends with, everyone you work with. This is the end for them if they do not get born again. If they do not get reached with the gospel, this will be the end. And if you're here this morning, you're lost without God, and you're unsure of your eternity. If you die lost without God, this will be the end. See, hell's is not as bad as it gets. Preach on hell a lot, and hell's bad. Don't get me wrong. Rich man Lazarus, rich man went there, and it was terrible for him. But that's not the final destination. He's going to be called out of hell. They said in the same chapter, death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. They'll be called out of hell. And I'm not so sure that when they have to stand before a holy God, they won't wish they could be back. I mean, you tell me what's worse. Standing before a thrice holy God with no Savior to give an account. You said, "But Jacob, I don't know about that." Well, I don't know that we have a true grasp on the holiness and righteousness of God either. And to have to stand before Him. The Bible says whenever He appears on this earth at the end of the tribulation, they'll be crying out for the rocks to fall on to hide them from His face. The Bible said in Revelation 20, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. They'll be called out of hell to stand before Him and give an account, and this will be the end if you die lost without God. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what the Lord's done in your heart, but I know this is what He gave me to preach. I know this is the thoughts He got. I know they're simple thoughts. I understand that. But this is what the Lord gave me, and I pray each of us would respond the way God has to respond. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for helping us with the message this morning. I pray that You'll take it and use it. I pray that You would help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray for that one here this morning that might be lost. Lord, unsaved, never been born again. Maybe made a profession, maybe been baptized, maybe been a member of a church, but they've never been born again. Their name is not written in the book of life. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to that heart. I pray that You would show them their lost condition, that You would convict and convince them of their need of a Savior. They'd thoroughly embrace, fully embrace their sin and their sinful nature, where they stand with God, take sides with You against themselves, repent and believe the gospel and be saved this morning, if they would only come. And Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would help them to understand. Well, we know that the natural man receiveth not these things, or their spirits are discerned. It takes the Holy Spirit, Lord, to enlighten and quicken man. So Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would do that work this morning. I pray for every saved person here, every child of God, Lord, that You would stir our hearts. Lord, that we would serve You more, that we would serve You with more fervency. Lord, that we would be more serious about, Lord, our walk with You, Lord, knowing that this is the end for this world and all the lost, for all the ungodly. Help us, Lord, to be busy about Your work, doing what You'd have us to do, that we might be greatly used in these last days. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all